This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
6 months later, not long after her 44th birthday, she died. And she died in my arms. And the decline, and I had moved to Virginia at the time. So I didn't have a, you know, we talked every day. My mother called me every day on the phone, regardless. She called me every single day. But I had moved to Virginia to work at a masjid called Dar al-Salam with Imam Safi Khan at the time. And I remember getting a call from her doctor saying that if you have anything you want to tell your mother, you should do so because she is declining rapidly. And it took me a day to get from there to South Carolina. And at that point, my mother did not even, she wasn't cognizant of anything. She was on so many heavy medications, you know, just to end of life care, that she didn't even know what was going on around her. I was trying to get her to take shahada. I was trying to get her to accept Islam, because beforehand she had told me the same thing my father tells me today, that I believe everything you tell me. I believe that Islam is true. I just will not leave my way of life. The same thing my father tells me. I believe your religion is true, but I was born and raised a Christian, and that's how I plan to die. So make dua for my father's hidayah, inshallah. I told him it's Allah's will. If Allah wants you to be a Muslim, you're going to be a Muslim. I keep asking him over and over and over again. But my mother passed away, and her last words, in a moment of lucidity before she passed, she looked at me and she said, "I'm sorry." Those are the very final words my mother said to me. I don't think I've ever really recovered from that. It takes a long time to recover from that type of thing, but I'm learning as I get older that time is not on our side. Time is not on your side. So the things that you want to do, do them. Do them. Make a plan. Get at them. Take action. Because time flies by like that. My mother passed away at 44. I just turned 44. You know, you never know how much longer we have left in this world. There's no promise. So do not ever take time for granted. There's a very famous hadith al-Qudsi from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah says, "I am time. Therefore, do not abuse me. I am time. Therefore, do not abuse me." So the wasting of time is an abuse towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is time and He's the creator of time. And we cannot escape it. We cannot. It's one of those things that we as human beings cannot escape. We can escape so many things, but time, it stops for no man. There's only one person we know in history that time stopped for. Little Q&A. Who was it? Yusha ibn Nun is the one person whom we know recorded. Maybe it happened other times, but for sure we know without a shadow of a doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped time. He stopped the sun for Prophet Yusha when he was about to conquer Philistine. And he commanded the sun that you and I are under the command of the same Rabb, so stay where you are. And Allah kept the sun there at the time of Asr, and it stayed until they won the battle, and then it sets. But other than that, you and I don't have that type of luxury. We can't look at the sun and tell it to stop. It just keeps on ticking away. Do not waste what life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Work, effort. And we'd say that, I give you the statement of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala. I studied the life of all the Imams, but Imam Ahmad has a special place in my heart, coming that most of my teachers were Hanbali. I was very versed in Hanbali fiqh, very versed in Hanafi fiqh as well. My first sheikh who traveled around with him was from Pakistan. Muhammad Zakiuddin Sharfi was as Hanafi gets. But if you study the life of Imam Ahmad, his son asked him one day, "Oh father, when will we rest? You know, we've gone through so much, we've been put through so much, you've been put through so many trials, you've been in prison, you've been all this. When will we rest?" He said, "When we put both of our feet in Jannah, then we'll rest. Until then, we work. Until we not just one, until both of our feet are in Jannah, and they've closed the gate behind us, and we know we're safe, until then, we work, we rest, we keep going." When he was on his deathbed, he said that Shaitan was there. His son heard him saying, "Not yet, oh, not yet." And he kept asked his father, "Why do you keep saying, no, not yet?" He said, "Shaitan is here with us saying, I've lost you, Ahmed, I've lost you. And I'm telling him, no, not yet. No, not yet. Meaning that until my soul leaves my body, this war between you and me is not done. So we're going to struggle in life. We're going to go through difficulties. We just keep going. Till when? Till the end. Till the end. Whenever that end might come. If Allah gives you 100 years, alhamdulillah, you fight till then. But then we get to rest. That's it. That's the goal in life. You fight and struggle for 50, 60, 70 years. And then you get perpetuity forever. To rest in Jannah. After that, you can do whatever you want. But just remember, time is not on your side. You don't have the time that you think you have. And every time you hear that voice in your head saying, "Oh, I have time," know that is shaitan. Know that a shaitan playing with you, and that is a sign for you, whatever that is you were about to put off, do it. Do it. Not today, not tomorrow, do it today, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because tomorrow, who knows if it's going to come. And it's going to come for all of us one day, inshaAllah. Keep us in du'as. We have a lot of things that are going to be exciting happening here, Masjid Salah Ad-Din, starting in the next month or so, inshaAllah. Once we get a few things settled, we will be having regular, ongoing scheduling programs, youth activities, the whole nine yards. So make sure you keep telling everyone. That is the goal, is to fill this place to the point where we have no choice but to build phase two, because we got brothers praying in the streets, inshallah. So tell everybody to come, because one thing I will tell you, I have been around so many masajid, and not just here in the United States of America, but all over the globe. I've been around masajids, and one thing that I've always made sure I've done is I've studied how they function. Right, I've looked at how they function. I've tried to sit down with their leadership and ask, how is your structure set? How do you run things? And a lot of times it's not very community focused, right? It's focused on the elitism of a few group or a group of this trying to hold on to power and struggle. I call it Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? It's literally like a Game of Thrones. It's like a mafia mentality to try to keep power and prestige. No. The masjids belong to the Muslims. They belong to them. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you make this place a waqf for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it belongs to the ummah. And that is how I have seen the leadership of Masjid Salah Ad-Din treat the masjid, that it belongs to the community, the respect that it should be given. And that is a barakah that you don't find many places at all whatsoever. So if we can bring as many people here as we can and let them see that, let them understand that this is their community, that they get to drive it. We're taking their suggestions. I just walked in earlier when the shura was meeting with sisters to get suggestions, to get feedback from the community. We want you to be involved. We want you to help drive the future of Masjid Salah Ad-Din and where it goes. So it is catering to your needs, not catering to our needs. Like, we're here to service you. That is it. We are servants. That's simply it. We're servants of the house of Allah and servants to the community. So please bring as many people as you can, because I believe this masjid, inshallah, can be a future example of what masajid in America should look like and how they should function, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.